I want to thank you for choosing to seek the Lord with us today. You can print out my outline on the website page there. Remind you, we are meeting at Kalita at 9:30 on Sunday morning, and we are practicing CDC's guidelines as we do that. We're going to continue our study of the book of Acts this morning and seeking to discover this life and the spirit they had. This message is for August 9th of 2020. It's titled Paul and Barnabas at Iconium, and it's the beginning of Acts chapter 14. We will do the first seven verses. My outline, I ended up subtitling, Jesus Brings Division Among People. Point number one, the people were divided. Point number two, the message created division. And point number three, following Jesus takes courage. Iconium, where in the world are we? I'm so glad you asked. We are in what is now called Turkey. Then the Romans called it Galatia. Iconium is about 90 miles southwest of Antioch, Pisidia, where we were last week. Iconium is located on a plateau that's 3,400 feet high. Iconium is a very old city. There are native ancestors who live there. There's Greeks and Jews, and they have lived there since 312 BC, and the Romans came in 65 BC. We find ourselves today in 47 AD, and this is the audience that Paul and Barnabas get to speak to. So our text is Acts 14, 1 through 7. I chose the NIV Reader's Version of the Bible for us today, and it goes like this. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went into the Jewish synagogue as usual. They spoke there with great power. Large numbers of Jews and non-Jews became believers. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up those who weren't Jews. They poisoned their minds against the two men and the new believers. So Paul and Barnabas spent a long time there. They spoke boldly for the Lord. The Lord gave them ability to do miraculous signs and wonders. In this way, the Lord showed that they were telling the truth about His grace. The people of the city did not agree with each other. Some were on the side of the Jews, others the side of the apostles. Jews and non-Jews alike planned to treat Paul and Barnabas badly. The leaders had agreed. They planned to kill them by throwing stones at them. But Paul and Barnabas found out about the plan. They escaped into the Laodicean cities of Lystra and Derbe in the surrounding area. There they continued to preach the good news. That's the end of our text. So, Jesus brings division among people is our title. Point number one, the people were divided. Jesus said this will happen. In Luke 12:51, Jesus speaking, he says, Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No. I tell you, I came to separate people. The end. A on our outline, Jesus always brings division among people. Jesus always brings division among people. And I underline the word always. Jesus is the great divide. All time is divided from before His birth, B.C., and after His death, A.D. The ultimate truth is that one is either for Jesus or one is against Jesus. There is no middle ground. Bottom line, Christ divides. I think there are is something worse than being against Jesus, and it is thinking that one can remain neutral about Him. That is a deception, because one who is not for Jesus is in fact against Him. In Matthew 12:30, Jesus speaking, anyone who is not for me is against me. Anyone who does not gather sheep with me scatters them. The end. I remember Paul Harvey telling a story about a soldier during the Civil War. He refused to take a stand for either side, so he came up with a plan. He wore a blue Union shirt and gray Confederate pants and ended up being shot at by both sides. Do you take a stand for one side or the other in this good versus evil, God versus the world truth? Do people know where you stand? I wonder why, over the years, I've heard so many preachers say, if you come to Jesus, he will bring your family together, when Jesus says just the opposite. In Luke 12:52 and 53, Jesus said this, from now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. The end. Maybe if everyone in a family became believers, and then if they all went to the same church, and if they all were equally and totally sold out to the kingdom, that might work. But that's not what happens most of the time. Is that how you have experienced this? Is that how your experience has gone? Often when one becomes a believer, they are disowned by their family. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went into the Jewish synagogue as usual. They spoke with great power. Be on our outline. Large numbers of Jews and Gentiles became believers. Large number of Jews and Gentiles became believers. And underline Jews and Gentiles. There were Gentile proselytes there, God seekers, who were often eager to hear the gospel. So proselytes is your big word for this week. And there were people who were seeking the one true God and were willing to go through all of the ceremonial rites of becoming Jewish in order to experience God. Some people believe the gospel the first time they hear it. But no matter how filled with the Holy Spirit one is, some people will not believe the gospel. And Jesus is our best example of that. They will not only refuse to believe, but actually oppose the gospel. This is the real world then and now. John tells us in Revelation, more of this is to come. So coming soon, there will be more active opposition to the gospel. In our day, many people who not only refuse to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved, but they actively oppose such a gospel that there is only one way, only one man, and it is Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the only way to be saved. Paul and Barnabas never gave up on the Jews. They went to the Jewish synagogue first. There are some who hear and gladly accept the message of Jesus coming. Bottom line, some believed, some disbelieved. But since we don't know who will ultimately believe, we need to continue to share the good news and to pray for those who are lost and are even hostile to our message. See on our outline, Paul and Barnabas were not successful just because people were saved. Paul and Barnabas were not successful just because people were saved. And underline the words not and just. They were successful because they spoke the truth about the gospel, not just because people were saved. For example, Noah preached repentance for 120 years without one single convert, and he was a success in the eyes of God. Success is in following the Holy Spirit, not in the results. Number two on our outline, the message created division. We live in a time of great division too. Our streets look like those did. Different reasons for the division. The sad part is that this division was about God, But our division is all about me. The people of the city did not agree with each other. Some were on the side of the Jews, and some were on the side of the apostles. A on your outline. Paul and Barnabas spoke there with great power. Paul and Barnabas spoke there with great power. And underline great power. No one ever speaks with power except through the power of the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozier wrote this, and I thought it was pretty good, so I copied it. Quote, I think there can be no doubt that the need above all other needs in the Church of God at this moment is the power of the Holy Spirit. More education, better organization, finer equipment, more advanced messages are all unavailing. Good as these things are, they can never give life. Good as they are, they can never bring power. Power belongs unto God. That's the end of the A.W. Tozier quote. This power of the Holy Spirit seems to flow best in and through people with these common personality traits. It's been a while since I took you off on a rabbit trail. How do you picture Paul in our scripture today? How do you picture Moses in your mind? Often, when God asks people to do something with him, they do not obey because of how they see themselves. Do you understand? Sometimes when God asks us to do something with him, we don't because of our own personal self-image. I want to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Paul writes, Brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I didn't come with fancy word and great wisdom. I preached you the truth about God's love. When I came to you, I was weak and afraid, trembling all over. I didn't preach my message with compelling and clever words. As I preached, the Holy Spirit showed his power. The end. Paul writes that he was weak, afraid, and trembling all over. Is that how you pictured him? I know just how he felt. It happens to me all the time. I want to look now at the burning bush episode in Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. The Lord appeared to Moses from inside a burning bush. Moses saw the bush was on fire, but it didn't burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why doesn't the bush burn up? Next, jump with me to Exodus chapter 3, and we'll cover verses 9 through 11. God said, And now Israel's cry for help has reached me. I have seen the way the Egyptians are beating them down. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh. I want you to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. They are my people. But Moses spoke to God. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? He said. Who am I that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Next, jump with me to Exodus chapter 4, and we'll read 10 through 14. Moses spoke to the Lord. Lord, I have never been a good speaker, and I haven't gotten any better since you spoke to me. I don't speak very well at all. The Lord said to him, Who makes a man able to talk? Who makes a man able to hear or speak? Who makes him able to see? Or who makes him blind? It is I, the Lord. Now go. I will help you speak. I will teach you what to say. But Moses said, Lord, please send someone else to do it. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. He said, What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you. He will be glad to see you. The end of my rabbit trail. Did you see our point? God works best in humility. God works best in humility. Moses, Paul, or Elisha, Jesus, they all had this attitude, and the Holy Spirit used them with power. So Paul and Barnabas spent a long time there. I found that the best guess was several months, but no one really knows how long that was. The Holy Spirit gave them the ability to do miraculous signs and wonders. In this way, the Lord showed that they were telling the truth about His grace. His grace. Obviously, some believed in the miracles and some did not. We do not need miracles to confirm the gospel today. We can still believe in a miracle-working God. Don't be deceived into thinking miracles come only from God. Please realize that the person and the power of Satan is also revealed through supernatural works, and more of them to come based on revelations. Be on our outline. Paul and Barnabas spoke boldly, telling the truth about God's grace. Paul and Barnabas spoke boldly, telling the truth about God's grace, and underline the word grace. I really wish Dr. Luke gave us more detail about this grace teaching. I would love to understand in more detail about Paul's teaching on grace. Grace seems like a very good idea. Should we think more about God's grace? Maybe we should bring grace into our conversations more often. Point number 3 on our outline, following Jesus takes courage. Acts 14:5, Jews and non-Jews alike planned to treat Paul and Barnabas badly. Their leaders agreed. They planned to kill them by throwing stones at them. But Paul and Barnabas found out about the plan. They escaped to the Laodicean cities of Lystra and Derbe in the surrounding area. There they continued to preach the good news, the end. We started with, where in the world are we? Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and the surrounding area are like our old Wild West. There is not much out there this far, so they are loosely controlled by Rome. Can you call up an old movie picture in your mind where in a cowboy story there was a lynch mob? Paul and Barnabas were more and more taking their lives into their own hands. Paul and Barnabas were constantly under threat of mob violence, like a lynch mob. A on our outline, sharing the gospel is a life and death adventure. Sharing the gospel is a life and death adventure. And underline life and death. United with the Spirit brings life. Eternal life is found in Jesus and His Spirit. The end result of sin is always death. People were born into this world united to death. God's grace offers an escape from this. Be on our outline. Paul and Barnabas continued to preach the good news. Paul and Barnabas continued to preach the good news. And underline, continued. These two were brave men. It always takes courage to be a sold out, a committed Christian, then and now. As we were on our rabbit trail earlier, we read how Moses, Paul, and others experienced God's Spirit showing up after they had taken the first step of faith. That seems to be common. After we take our first step of faith, then the power of the Spirit shows up. Think back with me to Abraham, the father of our faith, in the one true God. Do you remember his experience, his illustration of faith with his son? The sacrificial lamb did not show up until Isaac was on the altar and Abraham had raised the knife to kill him. Then God provided a way of escape. God confirmed in Abraham's belief that there would be a sacrificial lamb provided for sin, but only after Abraham took the action. That sacrificial lamb provided for us is Jesus Christ. The world would treat us with hostility if we stand up, stand out for Jesus. If one stands firm, God will provide himself, If one stands firm, God will prove himself faithful. The world will let you verse your own personal opinion. Let's share Jesus instead. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for men like Paul and Barnabas who fearlessly had the courage to speak to people about your grace. My Father, if there's something that we really need in the world we live in, it is your amazing grace to reach out and touch hearts. Help us understand how much you love us and how much your Son has done for us. Jesus, we lift you up, we honor you, we exalt you, and we thank you so much for sharing your best friend with us, the Holy Spirit. It's him we seek in your precious name. Amen.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Well, Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought faithful member of the family. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history.
Go down in history.
Has another blood-bought faithful member of the family.
That's all I ever want to be.
And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Just a nobody,
nobody
trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus.